quiet. You're talking, no talking out here.
All right. It's Scott Wells here from the Magic Word, and we're on day three of Fector's Finger Flicking Frolic. I'm here sitting just before the workshop on rubber bands, but Dick Cook is with me. You got a great story. Dick, go ahead.
Yeah. In 1962, I was at Ohio State, and in February, they had the Magi Fest. The Magi Fest was $8 to get in for the weekend. I went to the Magi Fest, but I didn't have $8. So what we did is we made phony Magi Fest badges, which got us in for the weekend. The greatest thing about the Magi Fest, besides all the shows, Anheuser-Busch had a plant located next to Columbus, and they supplied the beer for the hospitality party. Now, if you go to the Magi Fest, they give you a ticket, and with this ticket, you can get a bag of potato chips with one ticket and a beer or a Coke with the other ticket. They had a different system then. They had giant tubs of beer with about 200 beers in, and they had like 30 bartenders. So all you had to do was walk up. Oh, they had a limit. You could only get 4 beers at a time.
Max, okay.
So, yeah. So all you had to do was run up, get 4 beers, and as quickly as you can, run back to your table and set the beers down and come up for 4 more beers. The hospitality was only open for about 2 hours. Can you imagine how many beers you could have at 4 at a time in 2 hours? So about 3 o'clock in the morning, about 5 hours after the party was over, guess what table has all the beers? And who comes over but Larry Jennings and Derek Dingle? So that was the night I got to spend till 7 o'clock in the morning with personal instruction from Larry Jennings and Derek Dingle at the Magi Fest.
Yeah. Great story. Thank you, Dick. Well, obviously you can hear Obie in the background. He's starting with the workshop here with Mike Close. I'm sorry, Mike Powers on Rubber Band Magic. See you on the other side. Scotty out. All right, Dick tells me he has another story then also. Let's get back to Dick now that the workshop is over. Lay it on me.
So this is still at the Magi Fest, but later on in the 60s, I'm finishing up my doctorate, and the price of the Magi Fest has gone up from $8. I think it's like $12 now. But at that time, I actually had $12 because I was going to graduate. What they used to have is they would have some kind and gracious people that really make magic worthwhile. And after the shows, a person would have a hospitality suite.
Yeah.
And he would invite almost anybody into the suite. And if I remember correctly, this was Ken Klosterman in the late 60s. So somewhere about 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, you would go up to the room and they would have liquor and soft drinks and stuff like that. And they would have the performers from the afternoon, like I remember, they had Carol Fox. They would introduce Carol Fox and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure tonight to bring from you." And this was the same guy you saw earlier in the afternoon,
yeah,
doing
right.
The same stuff.
Same show, yeah.
And he would do it again, and then they would have Jay Marshall would be the MC, and then they had Al Goshman. But the thing that got me the most that I'll never forget that made such a great impression was, in Columbus, they have White Castles, and White Castles are known as sliders.
Sliders, a little small hamburgers, right?
At that time in the 60s, I think they were 12 cents a piece. And what happened was Ken Klosterman must have ordered 200 sliders.
Okay.
So they were on the table, and you could go up, and you could just have as many sliders as you can.
Yeah.
And I thought that
well,
that was such,
muffins,
such,
so small,
a,
yeah.
such a wonderful thing. And I remember that night, I think I had 4 sliders. And I wondered at that time, how could anybody ever become so successful
that he could buy that many hamburgers
200 sliders for everybody. And what a gracious, kind person he was.
Yeah.
And what a great time I had at the Magi Fest in the 60s.
Well, you've been coming to the 4F convention for a long number of years,
like,
too.
Yeah, I'm,
any great memories that come to mind here?
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. Again, the first 4F convention I went to was the second, and I think it was like $20, and he got all the meals and the fish fries and all
That's
you
right.
could drink.
Yeah, the Friday night
and
fish fry, yeah.
But as time goes on, you know, I used to come this 40 years I used to come to the Magic for the tricks, but I, you know, I just come for the people.
Yeah, it's camaraderie. It's really,
and,
yeah.
And the memories and seeing the people when they were young and the times we used to have and the sharing that has continued at the Four F convention is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's cool to see some younger people also. You know,
oh, yeah,
to
yeah.
Come in and then after they've come the first time, they're hooked and they continue to come every year as often as they can.
You know, and you get the younger people, and what I like is the people from the foreign countries that went down a different path to learn the same effect.
Interesting.
So they take the same effect, and they can blow your mind with it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, Dick. So what would be your magic word that you live by?
I think theater.
Theater.
When I watched the lecture last night on music, and when people think of the word magician, they equate it to the word clown. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, most magicians I met are clowns.
Yeah.
And that's because they don't understand theater.
That was interesting because he was saying, yeah, that the lay people think of magic and clowns, whereas magicians think of awesome dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely different perspective.
You know, you can elevate magic from being a clown through rehearsal,
theater.
Practice,
mm-hmm.
theater. And if you don't think magic is theater, then you're certainly not a magician.
Whether stage or close-up, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
good.
You have to have a script, you have to have a presentation, and you have to rehearse, not practice. You have to rehearse.
Right. Very good. Words to live by right there from Dick Cook. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Dick. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for The Magic Word, and I'm here with the guest of honor, and I'm honored to be with this guest, David Stone. Hey, David, how are you?
Hello, how are you, Scott?
Doing great, thank you. Good seeing you as well. Good hearing your lecture there last night then as well. And I just wanted to ask you about how exciting this must have been for you to be the guest of honor. You've been looking forward to this for a long time?
I was a little surprised to learn it that I was being the guest of honor, but honestly, I'm very proud about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I deserve it, but I think it's a great opportunity to meet a lot of people that maybe didn't know me before.
Yes.
And also, it's the opportunity for you to try to give your best, to not disappoint people. So, it's a little bit weird to see your name everywhere.
Your picture everywhere, yes.
Yeah, even on the wine bottle. You see, there are some wine, white bottles.
I haven't seen the wine bottle.
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, well, I have the pictures. I can give the pictures for you.
Okay.
Podcast.
Yeah.
You see your face on the wine bottle. It's funny.
That's
but
cool.
Anyway, I take it like a chance. And because I'm not sure you have a second opportunity like that in your life to be honored by people working in the same field as you are. So I'm very proud about it, and I thank everybody for that.
A few years ago, I recall that we always have at Fectors here the most valuable performer or something, and you won that, it seemed like a couple of years ago, didn't it? Didn't you?
It was in maybe 9 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a while back.
Yeah. Also, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, well, that was a people's choice kind of thing.
That's right.
On the last night, everybody.
I've been in 4F before for 4 or 5 years, but I didn't even know there was this vote. You know, sometimes I'm a little bit in my world. when they gave it back to me, I said, why? Because you did a lot of good things for the shows.
Right.
I think it's better when you are involved in something by your own with no purpose. Mm-hmm. Just to do that with your heart.
Yes.
You do that with your love for magic, and people feel it, I think.
Right.
Then that
right.
There was no purpose. My mind was just do your best.
Well, that's true, and that kind of shined through, I guess, because everybody then selected you as being mm-hmm. the most valuable person. And then again, it's given to somebody, I think, who had made that particular year most memorable for them. And obviously, you must have been every place and sharing just... You know, a lot of great ideas, and everybody just, you know, loved you.
I hope I will have the opportunity to show my lecture to your people during the next month's tour in America.
I'm looking forward to the tour you're going to be going on. You've already done like 129 cities or something, and which countries are you?
That's right. I've done already Spain, Germany, so now I'm in USA for 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm going back to France and for 28 dates. in all France. Then I will be at Switzerland or around Belgium after Fizin. And then I'm going back to America for 1 month from September for 20 more dates. And after UK.
Have you already got those dates set when you're coming back and lecturing later in the year? I was going to say, because I got a couple more cities who still want to see you.
I know that. But, actually,
it's kind of hard to hit them all.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm young enough to do it again.
Good. So, now, I want to talk to you about some of the ideas that you come up with then also. You know, like you were saying earlier, that you're kind of in your own little world sometimes and almost oblivious when other people are when they're talking about you. When you create things, how do you come up with your ideas? Are they just out of necessity, or are you thinking, I wish I could do this a different way? Or
it depends. I have two kinds of ideas. I have the magic ideas and the gag ideas.
Uh-huh.
So for stupidity and for craziness, I am very much more creative, you know?
Yeah.
But for magic, I'm just creative. I've been creative since only 2 years, since I released the tool, the gimmick.
Yes.
And I was not, how to say that, I did not believe in myself before enough. I did not trust myself enough before to be creative. And suddenly, with the tool gimmick, I realized I was able to find so many new tricks by my own.
Yeah.
That it just like opened something in my mind and gave me confidence in my creativity. And now a lot of ideas are coming.
Once they start coming, it's just like an avalanche. They keep coming more and more.
So I think we all have it in ourselves. It's just a question of confidence first.
Confidence. That's a very good word. You know, I think also that in order to be creative, you need to exercise that muscle. I think we all have a little creativity in this. Yes. Don't be afraid to use it.
Exactly. I like, for example, to watch, you know, TV program. I like to watch all the pilots of this.
Yeah.
Even if I don't buy the rest of the program, I just buy the pilot of everyone. Because the ideas are so very creative in the pilot.
Uh-huh.
And it gave me the opportunity to realize, why did producers decide to invest money in such a new thing? Because it was very creative. And even if I don't like the program, I just watch it. It's 1 hour. And I watch a lot of pilots like that that feed my creativity. And my mind.
Well, speaking of pilots and also television shows, you've done some movies. You have a good friend who's a producer, I guess. Tell me more. Something about your association with that.
I'm learning acting in France. I'm at the French Actor Studio in France. So I have been doing that for 2 years and a half now. So I'm a beginner in acting, but acting not on stage, only on TV or cinema. So I don't have real big purpose for now. But I'm working on it, and I'm going
to
make it.
Good. Now, what is your long-term goal? Do you want to be a movie star? Or what are you?
I want to be myself first. I want to be myself first.
Right.
And after, I will try to, I don't know. I think if I do what I really like first, and because I'm lucky enough to have a job like mine, like a magician, that give me money enough to be able to be free, I will arrive to casting with no worries in my mind. I will arrive free. Just do what you have to do. If you miss, it's not a problem. So, you know what I mean?
Yep, you have your own path. What is your idea? What path are you taking? Are you just kind of letting it free form and going wherever that life takes you, or do you have a goal in mind?
I have a goal, but I can't carry it because it's bad luck.
Okay. I understand that then, too. Yeah. And let me ask you this. I know you're doing all this tour then right now, and you're just kind of coming off this long tour. You have any other plans or something for the rest of this year? It sounds like your year is pretty well planned, probably for the next 18 months or so.
I expect to meet as many people as possible.
Yeah.
I expect to make them, how to say that, discover my magic, because it's the opportunity for me to meet people live, to meet them real. You know, they know my name. They even maybe have bought some of my DVDs, but they don't know who I am. And I think it's more interesting to meet the person live.
Yes.
So if you think you know me, you do not come to my lecture, and you will think that it's really different. That is. I'm so serious on DVDs. I'm so much crazy on
You
pictures.
Are crazy. I know you've known you for years. That's true. It has seemed in the past that it's just you and Boris Wilde are the most, well, Gaëtan Bloom, I guess, the most popular, most well-known French magicians, you know, and there are more, of course, Lebel and Matthew Biche. And now you got a lot of guys who have come here this year, 17, 19 different Frenchmen who have come, you know, so it's great to have some of your people come and support you then as well. I know that always about to blow the whistle.
Okay.
One last thing, and I'm going to let you go then, David. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. So my question then to you is, what is your magic word? I mean, it's something.
My magic word?
Yeah. Something you might live by. You know, your life, your credo, something that perhaps, it could be a magic word you use when you perform, but also just something that means something to you.
My magic word is something that means to me. It's like more like...
not Great Britain. He's actually from England.
I think love what you do first. If you love it, they will love it.
So love would be it. Great.
Yeah.
There he is. David, thank you very much. I appreciate
okay.
your time. It's been
thank
great.
You very much.
Congratulations on being the guest of honor.
Thank
this
you,
Scott, this is David Stone. Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells for the Magic Word, and we're just finishing dinner over here with the masses of people. This is our first evening dinner, which is part of our ticket for the 4F, and I've got with me Ice McDonald and Chris Capehart. Hey, guys, how are you?
I'm all right.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. So tell me that you guys, what number is this for you, Ice?
This is number two for me.
Your second one, okay.
Yes.
And three for you. So you guys are kind of relatively
rookies.
New, yeah, newbies.
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
And so you're,
it takes a while to break into this, you know.
So you're planning on coming though every year. You've been enjoying it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you like best about it? Why do you come back? What is this? How does this separate? I mean, normally, I mean, you guys both are working at conventions. Well, for that matter, I mean, almost everybody seems like us here are performers.
We're used to being paid to come. Here we pay to come.
Exactly.
So
now,
we must really love
and that's what I'm asking.
We must really right. love
what is it about that you
well,
love so much? You're willing to do that?
I think what it is if you really like magic and you're passionate about magic, it's magic overload.
Yeah.
It's magic, magic, magic. Take a breath, then it's more magic.
That's right.
If your passion is on is magic, this is where you get filled up.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, what about you?
I just do what Obi tells me.
You say, stay in here,
don't
do that.
Don't come, I come. That's it. I was ordered to come.
Yeah. Now, see, wasn't it last year or the year before? Didn't you and Oscar Munoz are doing Linking Rings?
That was
a couple of years
two
ago.
2 years ago, Oscar.
And, but I remember he was talking about that, but he said that both of you guys have such different styles in the rings, and that's what I think is kind of interesting, that was a good example of showing that people can do the same effect, if you will, but have radically different personalities. Totally different, yeah.
And that's what you thing here is, many times people have the same effect. You know, there's only one set of directions on the effect.
Right.
But their creativity takes hold, and then you see a whole different piece of art
with
the same effect.
Yeah.
How many times can you cut a card?
Yeah.
How can you find a card?
Lots of different ways. That's right. Now, let me ask you about close-up, because I always think of Ice McDonald as being a stage performer, but then you remember last year you were doing a close-up. So did you first learn or get interested in close-up? Or?
Well, yeah. What many people don't understand is I do from illusions to close-up.
Yeah.
I do birds. I'm known for the birds.
Yeah.
But, you know, beyond the convention, I do corporate trade shows, things like that, where
your cocktail party
requires. Right. So, yeah. So I'm starting the show right now. I'm starting to do my thing with close-up now to show people that I am capable of doing that.
Right. Right. And you've been doing close-up and stand-up like forever, it seems like.
Master magician.
Long term.
Master magician, we do it all.
That's right.
We do it all.
We do everything but sing. We don't sing.
And I sing, so I'm a master magician.
I think he does
sing.
He got the voice, so he probably does sing. I think you're also a minister, aren't you?
No, I'm not a minister.
He should be a minister, though.
I was about to say, I do it all, plus I'm ordained. I actually do marry
ordained,
people. Yeah,
you?
That's right. So, yeah.
Well, marry me. I need that.
Now, what else have you enjoyed as far as, like, the lectures? You learn something? You, like, stay up and kind of...
Well, the hang.
Trade some ideas.
It's about the hang.
Yep.
You know, the late night session.
Mm-hmm.
They had something that was pretty good last night called Half Bake.
Yeah.
And
that was the first time I tried that.
That was good.
Yeah. And people were showing things that they were working on.
Yeah.
And getting critique from the professionals and stuff like that. It was really a good session going on.
So it was a good time for everybody if they had some sort of an idea that they were working on to kind of get other people's input.
Yeah, get their input on how to work things. And I sat at the table and I watched... effects that people have been working on get worked out from the beginning to the end. It was really a good piece.
Huh.
I've been a professional magician for 40 years, and I learned like five things since I've been here the last 2 days.
And this just, we still got two more days. Tonight, tomorrow, I guess. Yeah.
We'll find two more cards in those 2 more days.
Two more effects.
Yeah. I used to tell me about one now, which I'm going to go see.
Yeah. So, I've learned a couple of good moves here. Plus,
I spent another $1,000 on a new table.
Oh, one of those floating tables?
A new one. I already have one.
Now, would you use that out on street performing?
That's why I bought this one. This one's actually designed for the street.
Really? So you can set stuff on it?
You can actually set up to 15 pounds.
That's interesting.
He put the whole turbo.
It's like a small rabbit.
On top of it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Which is
more sturdy, yeah.
Because the other one, you can't do that at all, so.
Yeah.
So this has been great, and I want you to add.
Well, let me ask you in closing that the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. So I want to ask each of you, like everybody's got their own magic word. It's not necessarily something that you would use. It may or may not be something that you use when you perform, but it may be your credo, something you live by, you know, your life force. You know, what is it that is magic word to you?
Mine would be laugh.
Laughter?
My whole thing is all about laughter.
Love it.
Whether it's a trick or not. If I make them laugh, they're happy when they go home.
And they'll remember that. That's what we're all about.
Me,
I love it.
No, I have a different take on it because of my spiritual background. Mm-hmm. So I blame and give glory to God on everything that I do.
Bless you.
So I would just say, you know, thank God. That's what I go by.
Yeah.
And it's not what everybody goes by, but that's what I live by.
That's good. Good. There you go. Glad to hear that. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate your time. And with that, thank you very much. This is Scotty out. Well, this is Scott Wells again from the Magic Word, and it looks like that the Friday evening show is finally over. It's almost a wrap because we're about ready to head to the donut shop upstairs, hospitality room. But right now, I'm here with Mark Leverage. Hey, Mark.
Hi there.
Glad to have you here. Now, you have been appearing at the, well, I say appearing, you've been attending for how many years for Fectors?
I think it's about my 6th or 7th year.
Is that all? Seems like you've been here much longer than that.
Yeah, I know. Each one is about 4 years in one go, I think.
Now, you've been a dealer each of those years?
All except the first year, and I've skated all the other years, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the types of things that you sell as a dealer are really things really of your own device. You don't sell things of other people. It's pretty much...
No, I've made a 30-year career out of already selling my own ideas.
Yeah.
And I was a performer first and a magician, right, sort of selling magic second. So all my stuff tends to be aimed at performing for real people.
Right.
So it's not magic to fool magicians.
Commercial
so much
stuff, yeah.
It's hopefully commercial stuff.
Yeah. Right. All things that can really be used by any magician looking to make a professional living out of it.
That's the idea. Yes, it is.
And so I want to talk with you about Magic Scene, the magazine that you've been publishing now for about 3 years, about?
No, it's 8.
Oh, my God. Okay. I remember writing an article for that many years ago, but boy, time flies. Okay.
It does. Yeah.
Why did you decide to get into that? I'm sure everyone has asked you, and what's...
Well, it was I was lucky in the sense that there were two other guys, Graham Hay and Phil Shaw, who had the idea for Magic Scene.
Yeah.
And they weren't, as they said to me, known names in magic. And they were looking for somebody who could be A, editor, and B, would have a name that enough people knew to give the magazine some credibility.
Sure.
So they approached me and said, would I like to be involved in a new magazine? And my first initial thought was, absolutely not.
Right. Yeah, like you got all this extra time.
Exactly. But we talked about it, we met, and the thing that we thought was the most important thing was there was a gap in the market in the UK for a quality, full-color magazine of that sort. Obviously in America, you know, you've got a lot of quality magazines which come to the UK, but there's nothing UK based. So that's why we decided that we could produce something that had a non-US bias,
right,
and which would reflect not only UK and European perhaps magicians and what they were doing, but also the British sense of humour. And Magic Scene has it takes the Mickey out of itself. It makes fun of itself. It's not too serious, but we think it's a really good read.
Right.
And it's very. And Phil, who's the designer, has a very modern layout, which is interesting to look at. It's easy to read, and it's very different, I think, from Magic and Genie and the other sort of big American publications.
It is an alternative. Now, the Magic Circuit, of course, is the house organ of the Magic Circle, just like the Linking Ring for the IBM and MUM for the SAM. And so that has limited circulation, certainly, and so yours must be much wider to obviously encompass more than just people who are circle members.
Yes, of course. It's obviously an independent magazine, so we're not tied to any club, which means hopefully we can appeal to anybody and everybody.
Right.
And also, we're now in the United States as well, and library.com print exactly the same issue that, that we publish. It's identical, but they actually print it in the States and distribute it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's in Barnes & Noble now as well, in the stores.
Oh, really?
So people can start to get it through that as well.
For the public, from, not necessarily for magicians.
Well, that's, I guess it's where magicians can get it if they don't want to go mail order and they want to go to their local store. This is the way that Libra.com have decided to do it.
Are you trying to market it then to the general public?
Not really, although having, there's very, very little sort of magic secrets in there. We don't major on tricks.
Uh-huh.
There's one or two per issue. We're more about features, magicians, what's happening. Not sort of news so much, but
reviews like on Darren Brown's show.
Absolutely.
And that kind of thing. Okay.
Things like that. So, and because we're bi-monthly, every 2 months, we're not a, we can't be up to date with news most of the time. But we like to do background stories, and we also like to help magicians to improve what they do. We have a lot of articles about helping magicians do specific things, whether it be certain types of presentation, whether it be our current issue's got something about if you want to be a lecturer, okay, here's some tips about how to put together a magic lecture and go out and do it, because so many people seem to want to do that now. So it's practical help as well.
I was wondering also, because we certainly see over here in the U.S. a decline in advertising and therefore the size of magazines, and I'm not talking about just, you know, magic magazines, but mainstream. I mean, you know, whether it's Southern Living or, you know, Time Magazine or, you know, any of the, again, mainstream magazines, Bon Appetit, name it, whatever it is. It seems that advertising has gone down as more people are going towards Internet, et cetera, et cetera. And so, therefore, the magazines are getting smaller, just like the newspapers, of course, are smaller in size, basically. How do you deal with that? And well, is that something in the UK? I know you've had like an economic issue over there as well.
Mainstream newspapers are closing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Magazines are going bust as well. So yes, it is an issue. One thing that protects us slightly from Magic Scene is that there isn't another magazine quite like us
in the UK. Competitor.
There's no real competitor, fortunately.
Yeah.
But yes, trying to get advertising, you need it. That's how you survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't easy. But we like to think that by distributing it both here in the States, by doing being a little bit different, by having downloads, making it available as easy as possible for people to get hold of issues, that we will reach a lot of people. We also have taster issues, which are free, which are extracts from the current issue, plus something from one of our back issues, and all the advertisers who are in the current issue are in the taster issue as well.
Taster is what we call a teaser, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Sorry, yeah. It's like a sample. It's just a reduced... To give people an idea of what... And it's free to download. It's a PDF. Mm-hmm. It's free to download from the magazine website. And the advertisers are in that as well, so they're getting extra exposure to more people. Even those who don't actually buy the issue, the advertisers still get seen.
Now, wasn't ABRA a weekly magazine that
unbelievable.
Ran for however
over 60
many
years?
Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. How that magazine managed to do it. It was the internet of its day.
Yes.
Because being weekly, it could have all the up-to-date news.
And all the chat.
Yeah. That's right. And it was a vital organ. And unfortunately, the internet really eventually put play to it.
Right.
Because it's one big thing was that it was newsy.
Sure.
The internet just took over. Instead of having to wait even a week for your news.
To find out what happened.
You can find it the seconds after it's happened. That kind of thing. So that's why ABRA had a problem, unfortunately. Yeah.
Right. With the advent of the internet, are you looking at utilizing that aside from the PDFs? I mean, of having interactive buttons and links and pictures and videos.
Yeah, we had a board meeting the other day about this, about two months ago, and we were discussing about whether we need an iPad version, and we feel that we would like to do that. We haven't got one ready yet, but it is something that we are hoping to pursue eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I would think that that'd be something that everybody would be able to again, access internationally, and
yes.
It could be something that's an extra pay type of thing, perhaps.
Yes, I think also when Magic Scene first came along, we were probably one of the first magazines to do PDFs in the first place. We did it almost from the first issue. So at the time, we were sort of, certainly in the UK, we were cutting edge.
Right.
But it's everything moves so fast that you can soon not be cutting edge anymore.
Right.
And so now it's a question of, you know, certainly with like Magic's iPad version, which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at things like that and make sure that we keep up.
Do you think that some of your readers would be interested in the history of Magic? In other words, if you were to reach back and to pick up some reviews from some of the current publications at the time of people who who have passed on, who are no longer, you know, but they're popular in the circuit, you know, in the UK, that kind of a thing, to the public, like Tommy, my mind went blank, with the red fez.
Oh, Tommy Cooper.
Tommy Cooper, thank you. My head just went blank there. I could see him. I couldn't say his
name.
Yes, yes. That kind of a thing, you know, like different reviews or whatever.
Yeah, well, Magic Scenes tends to be a more off-today magazine,
okay,
to be honest. We do occasional things, and we have done things like on Ken Brook, for instance.
Yeah.
And things like this from the past. But as a general rule, we tend to be of now. We're a more current magazine, and we don't do a lot in history. Most other magazines cover that anyway. The Magic Circle is very good with that. Eddie Dawes'
exactly.
column is,
yeah.
is excellent,
sure.
and does such a good job, and we don't want to try and compete with that in a way. So although we will do things sometimes that are related to the past, it won't be often that far in the past.
Right.
We did one thing on the history of magic in the UK on TV, for instance.
That's
so that
one,
went
yeah.
right back to the 40s and 50s.
Yes.
But that was unusual for us. We don't usually do that. So most of our readers... are the younger type, I think.
Right. Now, do you come over to the U.S. for very many conventions? I don't see you here very often.
No,
this
I don't.
Is pretty much it, though, until I usually see you.
I know. 4S is my favorite one to come to,
yeah.
and I make an effort to come to that. But I'll come if I'm booked.
There you go. Yeah, so you're available if anyone
Absolutely.
Listening.
Absolutely, any time.
And what conventions do you attend then over in the UK? I know they have
well,
quite a few around.
Again, there have been a lot of problems with conventions in the UK, as I believe there have been in the US. Dropping numbers,
right.
It's getting difficult to get people to go. So I've been concentrating on organizing, and I've always organized my own events anyway, but I'm doing this increasingly, small events that are very niche, to create a market for myself and for my products.
Right.
Rather than going to big conventions. The only big convention I go to is Blackpool, because
mm-hmm.
You've got to go to something like that.
Exactly.
But as far as everything else is concerned, I don't go to very many. I'm so busy with the magazine, mail order, performing. I don't want to waste time.
Right. So you are seeing the same kind of trend over there that you are here, as far as drop in attendance and even some conventions folding over there.
Yes, it's been a decline that's been going on for some time with certain conventions. I mean, the British Ring has had a lot of problems with this. Over, it's become, unfortunately, I used to go every year as a dealer,
mm-hmm.
but with numbers dropping. And the age, that demographic of the people who do go,
right.
Being older, and not enough younger people coming in. Looking at it purely from a commercial point of view, these people don't like to buy a lot of magic. They have all they
right.
need.
Yeah, that's true.
So for the dealers, the numbers of dealers have reduced. The numbers of registrants, unfortunately, have reduced. And that is a trend on not absolutely all conventions. Blackpool is a shining beacon of the opposite.
It is, exactly.
And it is a phenomenon that has grown over so many years, and it's still very healthy. And there are one or two one-day conventions that are surviving. Bristol Day of Magic is quite a well-known one. And that survives very nicely.
And McMillan's?
300 or 400.
And, yeah, McMillan's?
Yes, yeah. McMillan's does okay. But there are other smaller regional ones.
I see what you're saying,
which,
sure.
Which sometimes struggle to get the numbers and support.
Well, as we wrap up over here, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. So let me ask you, Mark, what is your magic word? What is it that you use, whether it's in your performance, your life, your credo, something you live by? What is Mark Leverage's magic word?
Magic word. Oh, my goodness. Well, actually, in my kid show, right,
okay.
if I have a magic word,
uh-huh.
it's R2.
R2.
It's like R2. It's like sneezing. Achoo.
Oh, achoo, okay.
Yeah, because I always reckon that kids have always got colds, and it was the one thing that they really all knew about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So that would be my magic word if I was actually doing a show. I want to run a rule for life. I always think that what I do, I'm really lucky what I've done.
Hmm.
All my professional life, ever since I left virtually from university, apart from 2 years of being a teacher,
uh-huh.
the whole rest of my life has been doing magic.
Yeah.
It's not so much a sort of job, it's more a remunerated waste of time. And I think that's a really good rule for life. Get a job that's a remunerated waste of time and you'll be happy.
Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Good speaking with you. That's Mark Leverage. This is Scotty out.